This morning's Parsha, Chukat, has one of the most commented on incidents in the Torah because the consequences are so severe. This morning is when God tells Moses to do what to the rock? Speak to it. And what does Moses do? He hits it. And what happens? Bad. God says, as a result of doing this, you're going to be punished, you're not allowed to go into the land of Israel, and the commentators explore what it is exactly that Moses did. Some of them, by the way, don't think the sin was hitting the rock. Some of them think the sin was Moses is saying, shall we get water for you from this rock, instead of shall God get water, as though he was doing the miracle and not God. But most commentators assume that the issue is that Moses hit the rock. I'll wait for you to sit down. My friend told me once that he was at a play, and Zero Mostel was in the play. And Zero Mostel was a very famous comic actor in his time. And my friend came late, and Mostel stopped the play in the middle. He said, stop, you there. My friend was like frozen in the aisle. He said, let me tell you what you missed. And then he reenacted the entire play up to that moment, said, okay, now we can go on. They turned the lights back down and they resumed the play. So Moses hits the rock when he's supposed to speak to the rock. And as a result, he doesn't get to go into the land of Israel. But the question is, why is it so terrible to hit a rock? In fact, earlier on, God tells Moses to hit a rock to get water. So Moses is already used to hitting a rock. And it's not seemingly such an awful violation. And there are lots of theories, of which I want to offer you at least a couple. The first theory is just that it's worse for a leader to disobey God's word than anyone else. So even though if someone else hit the rock, it wouldn't be so terrible. When Moses hits the rock, you have to punish him. The second is that God's really doing Moses a favor. Because while he is the right leader for the people in the desert, he's not the right leader for the people in the land. And so what God is saying is, look, you have to die out in the desert because I don't want you to go into the land and fail. Joshua's the right leader for the land. You're not. Joshua's a military leader. You're not. The third is sort of related to that. And this seems to me some combination of this idea is probably the most persuasive, at least to me, which is all of Moses' life has been an education in learning how powerful is God's word. Remember, when God first comes to Moses, Moses says, Lo ish devarim anochi, I'm not a man of words. And then, saying that he's not a man of devarim, God gives him the Aseret HaDevarim, the 10 words, which we call the 10 commandments. But in the Torah, they're called the 10 devarim. So Moses starts off by saying, I'm not a man of Devarim. God answers by saying, Devarim actually are what matter. Here are my Devarim. And then at the end of the Torah, Moses writes his own book, the last book of the Torah, and it's called in Hebrew, what's Deuteronomy called in Hebrew? Anyone know? Devarim. So the person who starts off saying, I'm not a man of Devarim, learns that God gives Devarim and becomes in the end exactly that, a man of Devarim. Because Moses learns that the way that you govern a people is through words. More than through force, you do it through words. And yet, when the time comes to show the people that he can enact God's word, what does he do? Instead of using words, he hits the rock. As if to say, I haven't learned my lesson. Instead of being able to use words to persuade you, I'm still using my staff. And because God doesn't want Israel to be ruled by force, but God wants Israel to be ruled by words. Remember that the great king of Israel, David, what book of the Bible do we associate him with? What book was David supposed to have written? You read some of it this morning. The book of Psalms, which is all a book of praise and words. In other words, David knew how to use words. The example for a king of Israel is supposed to be somebody who can use words, not force, to persuade the people to do what they want. That's why, what does God leave us? Words. That's what we have, after all, in the Aron Kodesh. The Torah is words. And because Moshe hasn't learned that lesson, because he hits instead of speaking to the people, God says you are not the right one to go into the land, because you haven't learned yet that only by words can people be persuaded ultimately to do what is right. You can't persuade them to do it only by force. And in fact, we know this, that popular uprisings are words that overthrow tyrants, not just force. And the only way you can persuade people to take up arms, to be forceful, is by using the right words. So Moshe, who needs to learn this lesson, learns it this morning. But he learns, of course, too late to be the leader to lead them into the land. He has to give it off to Joshua, who begins, by the way, when they come into Canaan, you know the first thing Joshua does? He gives them a long speech. In other words, he learned from Moshe that Bnei Yisrael respond to the words that we use. And so throughout Moses' life, from the beginning to the end, it's an education in what all Jews need. Because I'll close with this. Remember that for most of our history, we didn't live in a land. We didn't have an army. What kept us together? The Torah, in other words, words. The lesson that God was trying to teach Moshe was the lesson of all of Jewish history, which is, if we learn and recite and teach the same words, we will stay together. So that may be why it is that Moshe got seemingly so severe a punishment for so slight a sin, because he needed to learn for himself and for all of us, for all of Jewish history, that divarim are what keep people together. And with that, let's bring everybody...